Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast bringing you that sweet, sweet queer content that your heart craves. From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
And from the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida, making pterodactyl sounds because I'm so happy to be back. To those of you who have been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. And here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This Week in the Lesdom is somewhere where we can touch base every episode about things that are going on with the podcast and our lives in the greater Les universe. And we've got a lot to catch up on.
Oh my gosh, it's been a long summer. It's been a great summer. And now we're so excited to be back. We have a few announcements for the podcast itself. We are doing a huge season 5 Patreon campaign. We are trying to get to 300 patrons because we are ambitious and wild, and we want to have more of you there. We have perks at every level. Every 25 patrons, you'll unlock something new and fun. So we hope to see you there. We love our patrons, and you can join us on our patron-only Discord to hang out with us more.
It's the best place. The bestest place. Other news, we are going to be having so much stuff going on this year because, as you may or may not remember, we wrote a musical. We did a whole musical.
We did that.
And so we still want more and more people to learn about it. We're going to have lots of fun stuff going on for that. The first one coming up that you all need to know about is Les Hang Out and the Flame will be at Klexicon. Sadly, without me this year. I know, my
very,
giant
very
tear.
Very, sad.
Blame my work. But Ellie will be there to represent. We'll have Caitlin and Valerie there to help rep all of the Flame at Klexicon. So do not miss out. It is going to be October 8th to October 10th. We're going to have a ton of fun stuff going on that weekend. We would love to see you there. I'm including myself in spirit.
Yes. And Kristen will be there too, our beautiful production assistant.
Kristen's going to be there too. Everyone's going to be there with
me. I know. I'm so sorry, Lee.
Why?
You know what? Kristen.
Curse you, day job.
Kristen is like the ultimate. She just commits so hard to being a professional lesbian. Like, she's just like really going for it.
And we applaud her for it.
She has a straight wedding that weekend. So she's coming to Klexicon, I think like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then flying back for a straight wedding on Saturday. Which also, how dare you?
Amazing.
Straights. In the greater Les universe, we have all kinds of things because this has been a long summer and all kinds of stuff is coming up. Our first thing we want to talk about is Motherland. Exciting and also sad.
Heartbreaking news.
Motherland has been renewed for a third season, which is wonderful.
Hooray!
And we've also found out that it will be canceled after a third season. So it will be its final season, which is really depressing. We just had Motherland Fort Salem trivia this past weekend with Lynn Renee and Taylor Hickson. They were incredible. And we love them so much. I do have to say, I am happy that it's at least getting three seasons. Is that like my like bar threshold for LGBTQ shows is like so low that I'm like, well, at least it didn't get canceled after the first season. Like, we got three.
I refuse to ever be happy with anything ever again. Give us all the seasons or I hate you. So,
nope.
Still mad.
We're going to have more Scylla and Raelle. I'm excited for that. It's going to be great.
Also, Generation Q is back. So, you know, that's still ongoing. There hasn't been any news about future seasons, has there?
I don't think so.
So enjoy season 2 while we've got it, and fingers crossed.
There's been some good sex scenes, as there always is on Generation Q/The L Word. So we're here for I'm personally here for the Bette and Gigi saga. We'll see where it goes. Can't wait.
Gigi. Listen, I'm going to take this next one, even though we should be trading off, but I don't care because I want to talk
about
Shay Mitchell.
No, I knew you wanted to talk about Shay Mitchell. I was literally waiting for you to talk. Of course I was like, Shay Mitchell's on, or Lee's going to do it.
Listen, I don't even have any details yet. All I know is that Shay Mitchell dropped a TikTok where she mentioned she's going to be playing a La Dollar Bean again. And so I'm in. I don't even care what it is. I'm in. I'm there. Just give it to me now. Thank you, please, and thank you. That's it.
Did she ever not play a La Dollar Bean?
I think it's happened.
Have you ever watched anything of hers where she has not played? Yeah, I didn't think so.
No, not even a little bit. So I am excited to watch whatever Shay Mitchell's going to be in. Can't wait.
Yes. We're also going to talk about gays at the Olympics. And by that, we mean there's so many gays at the Olympics, perhaps. But I think specifically we're talking about the picture, right? The picture that sparked all of the craziness of like, oh, she kissed her and oh, they're just friends.
Oh, there's, is that what there's we're talking that, about? Yes. Oh, I was just talking about like how the gays did at the Olympics because we did great, y'all. We did great. I mean, we could talk about the picture.
Yeah, I literally was like, when you
sportsmanship,
say
sportsmanship,
sportsmanship
is
sportsmanship. I like that the fact that if you write gays at the Olympics on our This Week in the Lesdom, I literally didn't know what to talk about because there's so many gays at the Olympics. So we're going to leave it at that. We love the gays at the Olympics.
We had a high medal count too. I should have looked it up. Someone did a thing where they broke down like if you made a little gay country of just all of the gays that were at the Olympics,
country.
Like
yeah,
how many medals we won. We actually were like I think we're in like the top 10 of like by country medal counts. Like we did great. So listen, we're killing it. Congrats, queers. A+ work.
Not surprised. That's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. We are so excited to bring you our very first episode of Season 5, Kreegaters. Kreegaters. You heard us, right?
That's creators but gay, not like
Season 5, the alligators. Puns have gotten 0% better, and we're just still making them.
And
you're
we're
welcome.
Never going to stop. You know, it took us 40 minutes to come up with that, but it's okay.
Listen. Everyone's missed us. We've missed you too.
We've missed you so much. Welcome back. It's Season 5. Can you believe it's freaking our fifth season of this show, Lee?
I cannot.
Every time they're like, what season are you in? I'm like, oh, I think it's like three. No. Four. No. Oh, my God. Five. Like, I can't remember. But before we get started.
Who knows?
Before we get started on Season 5, we just want to reflect on the four incredible seasons of Let's Hang Out we have already done. I don't know if you all know this. We have over 1 million downloads, which
bonkers.
Is wild.
Crazy.
150 episodes. That's at least 150 hours of Lee and I talking to each other, but I know it's way more than that.
Definitely more.
Definitely more. We have plenty of two-hour episodes. Sorry, not sorry for that. We've done 43 trivia events.
Wow. Wow.
Crazy. Four live should have been gay shows. One in LA right before the pandemic. Oh,
remember seeing humans, Ellie?
I do. And one day we will be back live and we'll be hanging out with all of you.
I can't wait.
And we have also done 16 Les Essentials songs. That's like almost an entire musical's worth of Les Essentials songs, Lee.
Just short of an entire musical's worth of shows.
Insane.
Yeah, because, you know, we made that. We made one.
We made
a whole musical.
We made a whole
entire musical that had more than 16 songs in it. Thanks for volunteering me to do that, Ellie.
And thank you for taking on the challenge, Lee, because you crushed
anytime,
it.
Anytime.
You crushed it. Also, like, we're back. Don't worry. Some people, when we were like, we're going to take a break to go work on this musical, people messaged us and were like, wait, but you're still going to do Les Hang Out, right?
You're stopping Les Hang Out? No, never.
We're not. Don't worry. But we did. We usually take our summers off. The summer was not so relaxing.
It was not the calm hiatus we usually give ourselves.
No. We were working pretty hard.
We made some mistakes, but you know us. We're not going to stop.
No, but it was so worth it. And speaking of our musical podcast, this episode is called Creegators because...
Just keep saying it. It gets better.
Creegators. We've interviewed a lot of LGBTQ plus content creators and actors on the show. And now we are those creators. I mean, we've always been creators doing this podcast, but we wrote a story. We produced a musical. And so we really wanted to talk about the process of being a creator and what it was like for us to create this show from the other side. I'm so excited. So are we going to interview ourselves, Lee?
Let's do it. Like a hard-hitting interview.
So we actually have the creators of The Flame here with us today, and we're going to be talking to them.
Can you imagine if we did the whole thing like that? Like, just taking turns being like, so tell us, Ellie and Lee, what was this like? Well, actually, Ellie and Lee, let me tell you. It's like our intro, but like the entire episode.
Yeah, imagine. That'd be so crazy. We shouldn't.
What a crazy idea.
We shouldn't do that.
So yeah, we've done it. We want to talk about creegay things.
Creegating all the creegays. I'm so excited. Before we start, we do have a lot of fun new stuff in season 5. You know, we're going to have more trivia. We're going to have more guests. We have some really exciting guests coming up. You're not ready. You're not ready.
We're not ready. Ellie and I might die. It's going to be fine.
I'm going to have a heart attack for some of the guests we have lined up. If you in our audience know an independent content creator, because Lee and I know how difficult it is to create independent content, we also want to get more queer independent content creators on the show. We love talking to all of these famous people, but there's so many people who are in the trenches creating. We want to highlight them as well. We have a new guest submission form on our website, so you can fill that out. We are very excited for Kristen to be taking on a larger role on our team. She was our intern last season, and now she is our production assistant.
Graduated up because we love her so much.
We love her so much, and she's been doing a great job. And because of that, we also want to try to pay her more. So we are going to be doing a season 5 Patreon extravaganza to get some more people on our Patreon so we can pay Kristen more and maybe, who knows, even expand our team even more. We got lots of stuff
going on. Oh my
gosh. We'll see. Depends on
how. Wow, we're just such busy, important creators over here.
We are. We're creators. We're creating.
But we just want to keep making cool shit for you all. That's all.
What else are we making, Lee?
Well, listen, we just had so much fun with the last musical. You know, we're already working on the next one. We don't have a lot of, you know, spoiler teaser details yet, but we are getting that rolling. We're going to make another one.
It is.
We're making another damn musical. And we also have a Patreon for the musical. So if you do want to, you know, keep a tab on what's going on there, that's probably the best place that you will get like the most spoilery sneak peeks at what's coming. So yeah, we're making another musical. Of course we are. Come on.
I can't wait.
Come on. You thought we were going to stop after that one? We had a blast.
Yes. And it's not going to be a sequel to The Flame. The Flame is a podcast. It's all wrapped up. It's a completely new concept. And we are still working behind the scenes to get The Flame on a stage in 2022, 2023, it is going to be a slower process because it's a huge undertaking, but we have not forgotten about The Flame and we still have exciting plans and ideas for it moving forward. So
we have not forgotten. We will never forget.
We will never let The Flame. We will never let The Flame go out. If it takes me, if I am 75 years old playing Jamie on stage, I'm like, we finally got it made, Lee. Like, we won't forget. Don't worry.
Oh, wow. What a visual.
I know. Speaking of, let's talk about it. Lee, what was it like to create? Like, we talk all the time about...
Yes, we do.
About LGBTQ content and how we want more of it to be made. Here's the kind of representation that we want to see. And we complain about other people making it and not doing it the way we want it. So what was it like to be able to make our own thing and choose what it was?
Listen, it was amazing. I have a whole new level of respect for small indie queer content creators. It was amazing, and it was a whole lot. That's what I would say. What about you, Ellie? What was it like for you?
That sounds accurate. I agree. I mean, I already did have a lot of respect for independent queer content creators, because when you're doing it yourself, obviously the biggest thing that is lacking is funding, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like that makes it so that you have to wear a lot of hats. As anyone who listened to the credits of The Flame knows.
How many times can Ellie read her own
How
name?
How many times can I read my own name? And that, I mean, that is something that as content creators we're always having to do, right? Like of like, okay, I got to get this thing done. I want to make it happen. So there's a few options, right? You can, number one, pay someone else to do it, which is always what I would prefer to do. As a creator myself, I always want to be able to pay the other people who are working on the project. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's very hard to do that. So you can also, too, ask people to volunteer. And we did have some people who volunteered their time. But I feel like I most often fall back on, I'm going to do as much as I can myself because I want to get this thing done and it's our baby. Yeah. And it can be pretty tiring, but I also think very rewarding, because then you're like, wow, I did that. Like when I listen to The Flame, I'm like, I produced those songs. Like I literally edited and mixed 18 tracks of music and they sound pretty freaking good. I feel like just like most people will never see those middle ground. There was a newsletter that I'm a part of that is like a creator newsletter. And actually, I'm curious what you think about this thought. They said, if you're doing your job well, somebody will think they could do it themselves. And I was like, And it was like, if you're doing your job well and you make it look easy, then you did it correctly. Like, people should never see the process was, like, sort of what they were saying. I don't know if I agree with that.
I'm going to say I don't think I do, but finish and we'll dig into it.
A good creator, quote unquote, which, like, what does that even mean, will make it seem like they barely did any work. Like, the work should be invisible, I think was sort of what they were saying. Which I sort of understand what they're saying. Like, you shouldn't be listening to it and be like, oh, I can tell someone was moving faders on this. It should just sound like art that you're enjoying. Like, you shouldn't be able to hear the process. But I don't think you shouldn't let people know it was a lot of work. I don't know. Thoughts. Tell me your thoughts.
I'm like, part of me is a little frustrated by it in some ways, because I think it does a disservice, especially to like niche marginalized creators who are working in a system that is like almost like actively working against you in so many ways. And some of them can be really small, stupid ways, but they're still real and they're still there, and ignoring them or pretending like they don't exist doesn't allow for like a real awareness and appreciation of like some of the hurdles that they are overcoming that aren't necessarily going to be like an across the board thing. You know, like you and I have done this how many times, Ellie, trying to promote anything we do, the podcast, events, songs, anything that we do, we literally cannot pay social media sites to promote our ads, because we pitch things to the queer community and we want to pitch things to the queer community. And if you include words like queer, LGBTQ in your ad, it will get taken down. Is it a stupid small thing in the grand scheme of life? Absolutely. Absolutely
but
it is.
But also, does it matter? It does matter. Like,
it does matter. It is a real thing that makes it more challenging for any queer, like, brand, content, creators, merchandise, just anything. Anything that is queer that you want to market or bring to queer people, it is difficult to do that. Difficult in ways that it is not difficult if that content is not queer, or that if you don't actively try to let people know that it's queer or pitch it to queer people. Like, it's difficult. It's difficult because you literally can't pay to promote an ad that says, like, hey, come listen to this queer podcast, or this podcast for queer people, or this LGBTQ podcast. Like, you can't. You have to just be like, here's a podcast, and then hope that somehow queer people stumble upon it. You have to market it to a whole bunch of people that you know are not going to be your prime audience. And, like, that's a real challenge that you, like, if you don't acknowledge it and people don't even know it's real, then how are they supposed to know that they might need to pay more attention to ads to say, oh, hey, maybe the ad doesn't explicitly say it's something gay, but, like, did they put it on a giant, like, rainbow background to make it obvious what it is without having to say the words, because the words wouldn't be allowed? Like, stuff like that, that I feel like once you're behind the scenes of it and you see a lot of this stuff, it changes how you interact and how you look at the content that's being put in front of you, because you start to realize, like, some of the things that you didn't know about before. And I think that's important, you know? And I also think that when we talk about some of the challenges that, like, you know, like you just said, like, money's huge, you know? And, like, we've been to a lot of things, Ellie, where we've talked about, like, building kind of, like, you know, queer economies and supporting queer economies, and the reality of the fact being that, like, we're not gonna see a lot of those straight dollars trickling in to fund and create a lot of queer content. And so that means that, like, how we spend our money, where we spend our money matters a lot, because you are working from a smaller pool of financial possibilities, you know? And I think that's why it's always been a big thing to us, but, like, that's a reality that you can't overlook. Like, if you're going out there and consuming queer content, you frequently can't compare a lot of independent queer media to, you know, straight dollars funding stuff, you know? And that's how you end up with the discrepancy between happiest season. And you starting off season five strong, aren't we?
No more happiest season. We're never talking about happiest season again.
But we are, because, listen, you throw a whole bunch of straight money at something and you get great production value and great cast and great, like, you know, like, what should have been great and yet lets us down for so many reasons. But I just think they're real things. They're real things that we want to dig into, because this was a whole new experience for us. And we've learned a lot, and it's changed a lot, I think, of, like, our own perspective on a lot of the media out there. That's all. Was that a nice short answer?
Yeah, that was a very, very short answer. I was just letting you go. I was like, I'm just going to see where this goes.
Listen. We're back. We haven't done this in a while. Baby. I missed it. That's all.
Lee's like, I had a lot of feelings. I haven't been able to talk about it.
I'm hormonal and I have opinions right
for
now.
For 3 months. So here we are. I want to go back to what you were talking about the struggles of advertising as a queer creator. Because I even think about, like, I have a struggle. I actually now, as a queer content creator who, for example, like, wants to see the flame. Also, I'm like, can some celebrity lesbians just, like, create a fund for us? Do you know what I mean? I'm like, there are lots of queer people who are rich. Like, can a queer person just, like, make a queer rich pool fund that, like, we can all dip into and make our shit, right? And to be fair, some people are putting their money where their mouth is. Like, do you know that Natasha Lyonne is not queer?
Yes.
But, like, is queer?
Yes.
But
both correct.
Yes. She's funding a new, like, teen queer rom-com. That's exciting, right? I do feel like we do have, like, a shift in the landscape where it's like, okay, as a queer creator, you need to find now you just need to find a rich, famous, queer or queer adjacent person who can help fund your shit, right? And so it's like, it's becoming a little bit more distributed, not perfect, but, like, I do think there are avenues we can go. But, like, as a person who has created The Flame and wants to see The Flame get big dollars, like, get the prom treatment of a legit blockbuster, like, movie musical.
Keegan-Michael Key as Harold. I could see it.
Yeah. James Corden
James Corden as Harold. No, stop it. Don't say. I was trying so hard to avoid James Corden.
Yeah, yeah. Get him out of here. Hugh Jackman as Jamie. Like, I don't know. But
wow, you didn't want to go Meryl Streep as Jamie? Meryl Streep as Jamie.
Oh my God, Meryl Streep as Jamie. Meryl Streep could play Joe, but no, I want Jen.
But Meryl Streep as Rachel, hands down.
Yes, hands down. Hands
sold.
Down. No, but I find myself when I'm like pitching the musical, like trying to find the right words to use so that it seems consumable to a straight audience. When like yes. I don't really want to have to make it consumable to a straight audience, but there's something in my brain that's like, well, if you're going to get the big dollars for it, you need to say, oh, it appeals to a wide audience. When like, really, I don't care to appeal to a wide audience. Like the musical, for me, it's like made by and for queer women, right? And like, there's obviously plenty of other identities that are also like valid in that umbrella, but like straight people are not there. Right? Like, they're not.
At least, like, straight people, as always in my life, are more of an afterthought.
Yeah. And, like, even I love my mother, but, like, even, like, a lot of the straight people that have listened to it, my mom loves the show, but then I feel like she also has to say to me, she's like, I just really want this to be successful, and, like, I just feel like I need to tell all my friends, like, this is a love story. Like, it's just a love story between two people, yeah. right? And I'm like, yeah, it's just a love story between two people, but, like, it's very explicitly a queer love story between two people, right? And she's like, it's so universal.
Between two queer people.
Right? Like, it's – yeah. And she is right. Like, I know that it is universal, and if straight people watch it, they will like it. I don't want to have to pitch it to someone who will give me money – as something that straight people will like. I would love it if, and to be fair, I do think it's just like finding the right people. Like if you can pitch to the right people who have money who also agree, like here, this is a story for and by lesbians, great. I don't know if we're there yet. And that's why it's like frustrating to be in that position.
You know what it reminds me of is like, you know when, because I feel like there's been a lot more of this discourse lately where people have kind of cottoned on to this mentality of like, stop teaching girls how not to get raped, like teach boys not to rape.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, I know that this is like a weird parallel to draw, but in some ways it feels familiar to me in the sense where it's like, I know exactly what you're talking about in that way of like, us trying to fight against this own internalized thing to be like, how do I make this attractive to straight people? But I also feel like that tends to be the natural inclination of the straight response to it as well. As like, how do you present this in a way that will interest straight people? And I'm like, how about instead teach straight people that you can watch and enjoy and consume queer media, even if it is not for you.
Exactly.
And that's okay. And you should be doing it. You should be doing it in the same way that like, if you ask any queer person, how much of our lives have we spent consuming endlessly and repeatedly nothing but straight content? Like, come on. It's yep. possible. I have watched shows with not a single queer person in there, you know? Many of them, my whole life, over and over again. We all have. And we've had to learn how to do that. And you should as well.
Yes.
It's allowed. It's okay. It is a love story. It is a love story that was written for queer people that you should still find some way and learn how to enjoy. That's okay. But I totally get what you're saying.
And to be fair, like, they will. When they watch it, they will enjoy it. But I want them to enjoy it in a way that, like, not the same way that they enjoy The Prom. Like, I want them to enjoy, like, where they're like, oh, I'm not homophobic, therefore I'm a good person. I want them to enjoy it. Like, I root for these characters. I love these people. I want them to be together. I think now I have a better understanding of queer culture because, like, this is so steeped in queer culture. And yeah, I just want it to be like that. But even, like, I think about our billboard, right? Like, we, for those of you who follow us on social media, We tried to get a billboard in Times Square when we were in New York City for The Flame. It was a tragic fail. I will say that the billboard company has rectified all of this. They're fixing it for us. They gave
What's their name? We should give them, because we should actually give them a shout out. They've done
Campsite.
Great. Yes, Campsite has been fantastic working with us. We're going to get it all fixed.
Yes.
Shout out to Campsite.
Shout out to Campsite. They fixed, there were lots of issues, but they fixed them all and they're giving us a full refund. Like, we're doing okay. However, the billboard itself, it said originally, and like this is a conversation that we had to have as creators and marketers. It said originally, The Flame, an LGBTQ romantic comedy podcast musical. And we made the decision as a team to have the billboard say, The Flame, a romantic comedy podcast musical, with no mention of LGBTQ on it. And one of the reasons for that is stuff that Lee was saying before of like, we weren't sure it would get approved if we put LGBTQ on it. Another one is, from a marketing standpoint, we also do want people to just start listening to the show and not see LGBTQ and be like, it's not for me. And you see, I mean, there's four women's faces on the billboard.
The rom-com podcast musical of your dreams, not a man in sight.
Yeah, not a man in sight. So, like, you can assume.
Jen Colella's haircut front and center. Yeah.
You know, we're definitely flagging still. But it is. Isn't that so weird? Like, I'm just thinking about it. Like, we're trying to figure out how we can flag in our marketing while also, like, having a straight person look at it and be like, let me check out this musical. And then they figure out it's gay.
Yeah.
It's so tricky. And so, I don't know. It's just a weird game we're always playing.
I'm dying to know. I'm dying to know. The same way that, so we just guested on a podcast called Ending Pending. You should check them out. They're watching Teenage Bounty Hunters right now, which, you know, we had to go talk about Teenage Bounty Hunters.
I told them to watch it.
Yes,
I'm the reason they're doing that entire series.
And we were talking about how I was like, I am obsessed with the idea of like, I want to know which like little Southern evangelical families started watching what they thought was going to be this like super wholesome Christian show. And then we're like, surprise, lesbians, like in your face. Haha. I would love to hear from like straight people who, you know, like listen to a lot of BPN shows or like are super into like Broadway musical theater stuff and like found the podcast and had no idea and still loved it, because we know you're out there. We know you exist, you know?
We're here to be your surprise lesbians.
That's what yes. I just want them to, like, I'm just imagining someone starting to listen and being like, I wonder when the guy's going to show up for the rom-com.
And to be fair, like, if you're listening to The Flame, like, you know she felt like...
Yeah, yeah, which
she's
in
love in
your face.
She's in love in the first 5 minutes. Like, it's not...
But it still makes me laugh to imagine that somebody's just going to be, like, blinders on the whole time.
If you are that straight and oblivious, like, there's no hope. There's no hope.
I watched a YouTube video that was just, a rough cut of a bunch of reaction vidders, like, YouTube reaction vidders, watching the first Fear Street movie. And all of them, and, you know, because same thing, it's like, when you watch the Fear Street, the first episode, like, the first movie in the trilogy, and they very clearly were trying to, like, delay the Sam reveal, you know? So
yeah.
you only hear Sam mentioned by first name. You get no pronouns. You get no like identifying features, no nothing. And it's just a compilation of straight people watching it. And you get to that scene at the football game and you're watching, you know, like a football player feeling up a cheerleader. And they're all like, oh, this must be Sam, huh? Look at her face. She's so upset. It's zooming in. It's slow motion. I guess Sam found a new girl. Oh, Sam, he looks like such a dog. Oh no, she's so upset. He seems like a real, you know, like player. Ooh, Sam. And then the scene in the alleyway where she walks up and it cuts to her in her little cheerleading outfit, and they're all, and like their faces literally are like, oh, Sam's a girl. Oh, it's just like reaction after reaction after reaction. And it's incredible. Highly recommend that.
That is too much. Also, I'm like, I watched the first however much of this. I've seen that part of Fear Street. And I obviously did not assume that at all. I don't even know what that guy...
Well, no, because everyone else is like, Sam, Sam sounds like a girl to me. You seem pretty gay, so...
Yeah, I was like, I don't even know what that guy looks like.
Ellie's like, there was a boy in that scene? Sorry to this man.
Didn't notice.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
But back to creating queer content. I mean, we've talked about some of like the challenges of creating content, right? What have been some of the joys? Like, what have been some of the really exciting things about being able to create new content for the community?
Here's the thing. There were so many parts of making this musical that were just incredible. I love working with queer people. I love working with queer women. It was just so much fun to have a creative team and a cast that like so heavily featured a lot of queer women and just other queer people, because, and you and I have talked about this a lot, like, what a joy. Like, everyone is just a blast, and everyone is so happy and excited about the project all the time, because I think all of us know how rare this still is. And it's weird to exist in what feels like a dichotomy to say that, because you and I talk all the time about how we're like, oh my God, there's like so much queer content being made all over the place these days, and it's so hard to keep up. And like, that is true.
However,
in comparison to how so much of our lives has been, that is true. There's so much more than there has ever been. At the same time, we still exist in a world where we are constantly just bombarded by straight media, and that's what the vast majority of media is. And so when you have projects like this where it is like an independent thing, we are, you know, beholden to nobody but ourselves and queer people. And I think all of us knew that, and the people working on it and acting in it with us also knew that, you know, and there's just that sense of like how much everyone cares and how much it means to everyone that is like palpable in that space that is just wonderful. That I think was like one of the real big standouts for me. It's just working on a project where it's like, I know it's our baby, and I know how much you and I are like the biggest stans of this show ever. But there's something that's really cool about watching other people experiencing and interacting and bringing to life a project where you can tell that it's like, it's not their baby in the way that it's like ours, you know, like the four of us, like you and me and Caitlin and Valerie, like, but you can see how much it means to them just by virtue of what it is. There's a way that they like hold it, you know?
Yes.
And like, I loved that part of it. I think that was one of my biggest things about it.
Agreed. And also just like being able to, as a creative team, choose who we want to work with and the energies that we want to have around us. Number one, it has been a little bit of a challenge to choose wisely, right? But when you do have those people, it does feel so nice. I also do feel like we are getting a lot of queer content, but like, we also need to look pretty closely at like the writers of that content and the production crew on that content and the people mm-hmm. surrounding that content, because they're not entirely LGBTQ, queer, or women.
Yeah.
For a majority of them, we have a Should Have Been Gay episode coming up, of course.
Oops.
On like a pretty queer queer movie written by two men. Pretty queer, pretty female heavy, written by two men. That is a huge difference. And we've talked about that many times before with queer content creators, but it also has been like, I flash back to our first interview with Barbell from season one, right? Where we talked to them about what it was like being in an pretty much entirely LGBTQ cast and crew working on this web series, which you can feel is so genuine and so well done. Like the mm-hmm. people on it are so talented. And also really excited that like they're still seeing a lot of success with Slow Pitch in season two. Shout out to Karen and Gwen always. But like hearing it from them and experiencing it ourselves is also just like really affirming to be like, of course, like when they say that, I'm like, yes, that makes sense. But being in it, you're like, yes, this feels right. Like so much easier. Also, like I'm a full-time freelancer. Like I pick and choose whatever I want to do. Like I cannot imagine ever having to work in an environment that is not like, I am so lucky that I get to choose the people that surround me for work.
Well, and that's one of the other things in which I think that it's like really grown my appreciation of a lot of things. Cause I'll be honest, like, look, for years, I mean, like looking at people like Karen and Gwen, people like Amanda Holland, people like Kristen at Tello, like all of these people that we know, that we've talked to, that we've met through the podcast, like you and I have met so many people that we could just like rattle off, where I've always been just like amazed at how invested, committed, hardworking, like that has always been true. And yet having had the experience now of like really doing, like you and I have been making this podcast for a long time, but like you're saying, like this is just us, it's our baby, and there's a lot of like, you know, we'll, whatever needs to be done, it's kind of always going to be the two of us. And well, we will, because it's our own thing and we want to see it like go somewhere. Working now in the context of a project where like we had a budget, you had to pay people, you had contracts, you had like, you know, things that we had to like have taken like off of our plate and like have other people be taking over stuff because there's just not enough of our own hours to go around. And like the amount that goes into that, the amount of money that it takes to really make something and pay people like what they're putting into it, for what they're putting into it. I am just like, kudos to all of them, because wow. because you really cannot wrap your mind around like how much is going into some of these things. And I will say still that like, even for us, like podcasting in terms of the requirements of like, you know, cast and crew and so many other things is like probably still even just bare bones compared to a lot of these things. And we still had a lot of things that like you and I could kind of just do ourselves with our own skill set, you know?
Catch us on the episode after The Flame has been made into a movie and we're on a TV, we're on a film set with like the however many hundred people who are working on this wild thing. And we will report back. But I agree, like the sheer amount of hours that it takes to put something like this together, for sure worth it. And also like very commendable for the people who are doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think too, like even like after it's been out, the biggest and most exciting thing for me is like is after it's out and hearing from people who have listened and who it has impacted. I have cried so many times, and I always cry. Everyone knows this about me, but the reasons that I'm crying is because I'm so proud of the thing that we created. Like, and we have always talked about the representation that we want to see out there, and like the biggest thing for me that is still a huge thing is the happy endings. Like,
mm-hmm.
We deserve happy endings, And I want to be able to give it to our audience and see them experience that joy and that catharsis that comes from hearing something that so much is you and is you happy. It has wish fulfillment of like, you're going to have a nice life and you deserve love and you deserve friends and you deserve chosen family. And like, these are all the things you deserve and should have as a member of the LGBTQ community. And it's normal. Like, their whole life is just like a normal life, but gay. So I'm very happy with what we put out. And I also just like loved hanging out with people at the listening parties.
Oh my God. I can't express how much joy those listening parties brought me. I really can't. If we're going to talk about like the joyful parts of this project, those were also very, very high up there. It's so much fun. It's so much fun to like consume queer media with queer people. It's just, that's incredible.
It is.
And just, it's like, people are so, you're all so nice and supportive.
Thank you.
Thank all of you.
It's also so interesting. I don't know, just like creating this thing and like, you know, or like when we go on interviews and stuff and people will be like, oh, like I'm fangirling or whatever. And like, I still am in a space where I'm like, I am a fan. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm a fan of the show. Even when the fan art was created, like the fan art that you got commissioned, I was like looking at it and I'm like, that's me. But like, it's not me. Like, I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is like just like a cute couple that I ship. And yet like, that's like my face on it. You know what I mean? I'm like, but they're so,
you're like, cute. I ship this couple. One of them kind of looks like me, I guess.
Yeah. But I'm like, I love them so much and they're so cute and sweet. And yeah, it's just like, it's cool to have created something that like I, as a consumer of a media, also would ship. I love it so much. It's so good. I guess before we wrap up, we're just like fangirling over this thing that we did. But like I said, we're very proud of it. For anyone in our audience, I feel like we should leave some words of either like encouragement or advice on if they want to create their own queer content because they love listening to our show and they love hearing all the things that we talk about and they agree. They're like, yeah, we want to see more of this. We want to see more of that or less of this particularly. What's the advice? What advice do we give them to help them along their way? What do you think, Lee?
I guess what I would say is like, believe that you can do it. That would be my first piece of advice, you know, is I think that like, and I've said this a number of times, but like one of my favorite things about working with this wonderful woman on the Zoom screen across from me, one of my favorite things of working with you, Ellie, is that you are just a person who like 1000% always believes that like the stars are within reach and you're just like, I'll just jump for them. That's fine. And I think that it is so important to have that attitude because realistically, like me on my own would be doing none of this because I'm more of the person who's like, sounds difficult. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Maybe it's impossible. And you just never approach anything like that. And I think that's a huge part of why we've done all of the stuff that we've done is because you have to believe that you can do it or you never will, you know?
Yep.
So that I think is my first thing. And then I guess my next thing would be to find the people who want to see it exist as much as you do, because that's who's really going to make things happen. You know, there is so much of this because, you know, it is, we are a niche market, y'all. And you have to will stuff into being in some ways. You just have to want to see it enough that you make it happen. And I think that the best thing you can do is like really find the people who want it to be there as well, because that's who's going to put the work in and help you make it happen. So
agreed.
I don't know. I'm sure you have lots of other things to add, Ellie. What would you add to that?
Great advice, Lee. Yeah, I really like the finding other people. I feel like a lot of times people are like, how do I find those people? So the how do you find those people is, I think, just like ask. Don't be afraid to ask for those people. You would be surprised, like write one tweet that's like, hey, I want to see this thing happen. Who else does? See who responds. Post on your Facebook page. I don't know if anyone even has Facebook anymore. For the Gen Zers, make a TikTok. Like literally make a video that's like, hey, I think it'd be so cool for this thing to happen. Who else is on board? And I think you'll be surprised at the responses that you get. If you don't want to be overwhelmed by too many responses, because to be fair, if you ask, you might get actually too many responses. Look for people who are already sort of doing what you think is cool. So like if I want to make a web series, I would probably be like, hey, I really love the web series Carmilla, or I really love the web series Barbell. Let me reach out to those people, see if I can work with them, or see if like I pitch them an idea, if they would want to help me with that project. And they're also more likely to know people in that sphere who also know people who would be interested in doing it and have the skills. I think for me too, after doing it for so long, like just doing freelance creation and all of that kind of stuff, if you're new to it, go do it, jump for the world. But also at a certain point, you need to figure out what's the most important to you, because focus is also very important. Don't take on too much. And if you decided, hey, I want to make a podcast musical, like find a bunch of other people who can help you rather than doing too much yourself, because you will get burnt out. You need to not be burned out. You deserve to not be burned out while you're creating this thing that's super important and exciting.
Yeah.
Those are my big takeaways.
Yeah, I think that's a big one. I think my other thing, and I know this isn't what you asked, but I'm going to put it out there anyway, is that like, I think you and I still at our core, and the way I still think of myself is as primarily a consumer of queer media. And as someone who loves and cherishes that role as well, I think my advice for all queer media consumers is look kindly on these creators, and probably assume that like especially any independent queer stuff being made, assume that they are working too much and making too little for the amount that they are pouring their hearts into getting this stuff out there. Because I cannot express how much I think it really is. At its core, this is always a labor of love, getting this stuff out there. And I think you don't go into it, like, if you were going in to make the big bucks, this is not what you'd be doing.
True.
This is not how you would do it. Because I think for the reasons that we just said earlier on in the episode, Ellie, is like, if you wanted to go where the money is, you wouldn't make it gay, you know?
True.
I think that's still the reality of it. And so I think, you know.
Give them a break, is what we're saying. Give them a break, as we, like, our entire brand is about, like, pulling apart queer media. But that's not true.
No, but I think looking at it critically.
Yes, we look at it critically.
You can look at it with a critical eye and a critical approach, but I think it's like you can be critical of the media itself more so than being critical of the amount of work that went into a lot of these things. I don't know. I think there's still a way in which I differentiate those things. And you can that doesn't mean you have to like everything. You can not like stuff. That's fine. It's like you can not like something and still appreciate that like a lot of work went into it.
Yes.
You know, like there's plenty of art that I'm like, it probably took them hours. Not my thing though. That's fine. That's allowed. That's like a perfectly valid thing. It doesn't negate the amount of time and energy and effort that went into something. That's all. I just think it's like, you know, the awareness of like the amount that goes into some of these things, because it is a joy and we're making another one. I mean, we loved it. We loved doing it, but it's a lot of work. That's
respect
all,
the
know?
Process. Yes.
Yeah,
respect
yeah.
the process
yes,
and like
yes,
respect
exactly.
the amount of work that people are pouring into these things that they're creating, because it is a lot.
And most importantly, get ready for the next show. That's all. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Get ready for us to pour another year into a new show and you're going to freak out.
We can't stop ourselves. We have a problem.
I literally, like, I feel like I finished the flame and then I just, like, turned my brain off for 3 weeks. Like, I literally was like,
yeah, yeah.
All right, and I can breathe again. And I still love the show, but I just was like, and she's done. And she's back. We're back. That's why we take a break. That's why we take a break every summer from Let's Hang Out. Like, also as creators, like, cut yourself a break. Please. Please take a break. This is me talking to myself as well.
Look, it's been a long pandemic. We all need a break right now.
We all need a break. Are we ready, Lee? Any final words about creating?
We love it. We hope you all enjoyed the flame. That's all.
Welcome
That's it.
Back.
That's all I've got.
Let's do our Q&A.
Did we open season 5 by just talking about our own project for an hour? Whatever.
It's fine.
Listen, it's fine.
Okay, we deserve this.
We worked for a long time on it. I think, you know, allow it.
I'll allow it. All right, it's time. Are you ready? Q and gay.
Q. Q. And. Gay.
All right, Q and gay. Our first Q and gay of season 5. Here we go.
It's been such a long time.
All right, are you ready? I'll ask the first question. Here we go.
I'm so ready.
Question number 1, Lee. What is your favorite type of queer content? A, podcast, B, web series, C, books, and D, movies.
Oh, man. This is like a personal attack because I feel like I should say podcasts, right?
You should.
But like, I'm a little torn between podcasts and movies. I know.
I mean, we talk about movies pretty constantly, Lee.
We talk about movies all the time. I know. But also, I mean, listen, not only do I stand the flame, but I've actually been super enjoying Elixir all summer as well.
So good.
I'm like super into that as well. So I don't know. There's no wrong answer on here. I like them all. I can't pick.
Amazing. I also was cracking up. I saw a tweet from Dana Pickley the other day that was like, remember web series?
Yes.
But I'm like, they still exist.
They still exist.
They still
but
exist.
But I do feel like there was like a heyday for a long time, and I think it's slowed down.
There was a renaissance.
Yeah. Give me some queer indie web series. I love them.
I feel like it could be a positive thing, though, and here's why. Sorry to go on a tangent on our Q&A. I think there are less web series because more shows are being funded because of Netflix. Because of the streaming wars, people are paying for content more often. Maybe they're still not paying a lot, but they're paying more than you would make if you did a YouTube web series. So I feel like people are like making pilots and stuff like that and getting those shows actually funded instead of having to make a web series.
But I still love a web series. I like them both. Give me both. Give me streaming content. Give me web series. I want it all.
Also, this is so random, but we need to have Vico Ortiz on this season. I love these thems.
Yes,
it's a great web series. And that's a very new web series. Like, very well done, well acted, obsessed with that web series. Watched it in a day. Like, it's such an easy binge. Watch it. Now, after all of that, question 2, you can ask me, Lee.
Okay, question 2, Ellie. Have you created any queer content yourself? A, yes. B, no. Or C, not yet.
A, yes. And C, not yet more.
I like it.
So excited. Question 3. The best imaginary casting for the Flame movie adaptation. A, Keegan-Michael Key. B, James Corden. C, Hugh Jackman. Or D, Meryl Streep.
I love Keegan-Michael Key, but the answer is always Meryl Streep, always.
Meryl, call us.
Yeah. Yeah, hit us up. We got you. Question 4. What are you, Ellie? A, a reach for the stars dreamer, or B, a feet on the ground realist?
Surprise, surprise, reach for the stars, baby.
I am shocked at this wild new information.
So crazy. Always reaching. Always just dangling, hanging off of a star. Can you hang on a star when you are a star?
Ooh, tough question.
Can you reach for yourself?
Yes, why not? are you asking if you can touch yourself?
Yes.
I don't on our podcast?
Yep.
I don't know.
Okay. Sure. That is what I'm asking, and I'm always reaching for the stars. or myself, Star. All right, question number 5, here we go. What's your favorite marketing flagging technique? A, rainbow color scheme, B, obvious gaze in the photos, C, coded language, or D, queer references?
Oh, they're all so good, you know? I'm going to go with I love an obvious gay in a photo. You know, that's a good one, especially because it somehow still manages to, like, go by unnoticed. Like, I feel like you put a ton of rainbows everywhere and straight people will be like, seems pretty gay. But for some reason, if you just put, like, two men at a grocery store together, like, somehow it somehow skates by unnoticed sometimes still. And you're like,
but yeah, every time you see two men in a grocery store, they're clearly gay. We know this.
We know this.
Men in grocery stores, canonically gay.
Canonically gay. Sorry to break it to you, straight dudes. You're gay now.
You're gay now. Remember, you can give us your own answers to this episode's Q and Gay questions on our Twitter at Les Hangout Pod.
Let me hear you say, hip, 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 we're gay.
We love hearing from you and building community, so we want to shout out some of our favorite things each episode. And our first shout out is going to be to Stacey and Gina. If you follow us on any of our social media accounts, you might have seen the video of me sobbing.
Bawling ugly crying. My eyes out,
completely ugly crying. We got an email from Stacey, one of our listeners who listened to the Bly Manor episode. And really, it really resonated with her because her wife, Gina, had very recently passed. And so it was just a really nice email to get. So I want to say thank you yet again, Stacey. I know you saw my post on socials. But I just want to say it again. It still, even now, is really just a beautiful story. And I'm happy that our episodes could be a small part of your love story.
We also want to shout out listener Amy, who reached out to us about the flame to let us know that they used to go to a lesbian bar in San Diego that was called The Flame, and what a beautiful, amazing queer space it was. We loved this, A, because we love people finding our musical and enjoying it, and we love hearing about queer spaces, and also because it is very possible that it's The Flame that we took the name from. So anyone who's come to some of our listening parties or has listened to us talk about the show, we took the name for the bar and the musical that it's named after from a list of lesbian bars that have closed in the country. And so there is probably a very high chance that it is The Flame that we actually used their name for our musical. And we just thought that was so beautiful and it made us so happy. So thank you, Amy, for sending us that message and that story. It just made our days.
It sounds like an awesome place to be. I just love queer spaces. The best.
Same, same.
As always, we want to thank our lesbian Jesus patrons that just keep getting longer and it's so exciting. Mark Foster.
Jess Klaus.
Tanya Ferguson.
Jacqueline Rose Nishino.
Sarah and Julia.
Carrie Ann Lawrence.
Danny Gunluck Tamora.
Brittany Ray.
Alana Rosen.
Tara Gleason.
Lizette Stye.
Stacy.
And Adi Benitez.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen.
Leah Henley.
Liz Shen,
Evelyn Smith,
and Julia Gonzalez. Thank you all. As always, we could not keep doing this podcast without you. And here we are at season 5. So you all are the best. We love you all.
We love you so much. Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
Or check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use to listen to podcasts, make sure that you subscribe. That way you'll get new episodes as soon as they go up.
Also, if you have not listened to The Flame yet, make sure you subscribe on any podcasting app to The Flame, our original podcast musical.
We also still have videos going up on our YouTube channel. You can find videos of our Les Essentials, videos of The Flame songs, lots of good stuff. So make sure you check it out at youtube.com/leshangoutpod.
If you want to support the podcast, the easiest way to do that is rate and review us on iTunes. We love hearing what you have to say.
If you want to support us financially, you can check out our Patreon at bit.ly/lespatreon. You'll get access to all sorts of fun perks like our Discord channel. You get things like coupon codes for our merch shop. We have lots of fun stuff and we love it, and it just helps us be able to do all of the fun stuff that we're doing, and we couldn't do it if we didn't have that going. So we're so happy with our patrons. We love you all so much.
Jinx. And reminder, we are in our Season 5 Patreon campaign, so we're really trying to bulk up that Patreon. If you want to get some Les Hangout merch, you can do that at bit.ly/lesshop.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida. With that, for the first time in Season 5, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's.